It is good seeing everybody here today. I don't know if I was going to make it or not. I overdid it yesterday, working around the house, putting in sheetrock and hauling 4x8 sheets of plywood and cutting it and hauling it back and forth and cutting it and recutting it and back and forth and picking it up. And by the time Kathy got home last night, about 5 o'clock, I was beat. And it's like, I'm glad you're here so I can put everything up and quit for the night. Well, we are continuing our study in James, but before we get started, let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Shall we bow? Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time we have to come together and to learn more about your word. And as we study into James, Father, we pray that we can just take his words and apply it to our life and make us better Christians, Father, that we can learn from his easy words on how we need to live our lives. Pray, Father, that you be with those that are of our number who are sick, and just pray, Father, if it be your will, that they can get back to their much-wanted health and get back with us. And with any others that might be traveling, Father, that they'll have safe trips. Forgive us our many sins, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Are there any questions or comments about what we have studied so far in James? We haven't gotten far. We've only gotten into, five verses so far. But we've had good discussion on it, and that's what it's about. That's what I like for the classes to be, is discussion and talking about it. So I just want to go over real quick verse 5 again, because that leads into where we're going to start this morning on verse 6. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now, moving on to verse 6. But let him ask in faith. So again, we've talked about asking God for wisdom, asking God for heavenly wisdom. But how do we ask? James tells us that we ask in faith. And we all know what faith is. Hebrews 11:1 tells us that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What does that mean? The substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. What does that mean to you? God's promise of salvation in heaven, because we haven't seen heaven. We know what heaven is. You know, we've studied it, but we have never seen it, okay? So that's something that we hope for, but we haven't seen. What's another example?
It's the results of what we experience with the things around us and with reading the word. The substance of things hoped for is the epitome of what we're looking for.
Okay. Okay.
I think we could have a reasonable expectation of the things that are hoped for. I mean, I can have a hope I'm going to be handed a Snickers bar when I walk out the door today, but I don't have a reasonable expectation that I'll get it.
Right. If you'd let me know, I could have had one for you, but... Okay. I look at it in our faith in God, in the Bible, in everything, okay? We have the Bible, we put our hands around the Bible, we can read the Bible, but a lot of things that are written in the Bible, you know, we can't see, okay? Yes, we have evidences of, you know, archaeologists in the Bible lands are unearthing these cities that correspond to what's written in the Bible, but a lot of the big things, like the Ark of the Covenant, okay? There's a big thing out there about the Holy Grail. which is supposed to be the cup that Jesus used at the Last Supper. That's out there. And things like that that are physical that we can put our hands on and say, yes, that exists. Now I can believe. Okay? I don't think we'll ever find any of those things, even if they still exist, because then we don't need faith, because then we have something that we can put our hands on. Oh, there's the Ark of the Covenant. Okay, now I believe. No, it's the evidence of things that we hope for, but the existence of things not seen. So in other words, we've got to have this blind faith, if you will, in things that existed, but not might not exist now, that we can't see. You know? How many have seen the Atlantic Ocean? Okay. For those of you who have not seen it, do you believe it exists? You know? And we can say, oh yeah, I've seen it in movies. I've seen it in pictures, you know. My uncle went there and he told me about it. That's fine. Let's go with Antarctica. Probably nobody here has ever seen Antarctica, but we believe it exists. Okay? It's that same kind of thing. We have to believe in something that we cannot see, that we cannot physically touch, and then say, yes, it existed. Sasquatch, you know, that's a big one here, you know, in this end of the country. Nobody's ever seen one. They've got videos that make you think you've seen one, but nothing clear and definite. Okay? So that's what faith is. So James is telling us, when we go to God and we ask for this wisdom, how do we ask for it? We ask for it in faith. We ask for it in faith. Yes. Right. That's okay. This is Mark. Matthew, he was reading in Mark. We're on the same thought process. So let's read that in Mark 17, verses 20 and 21. Matthew 17, 20 through 21. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for surely I say to you that if you have faith as a mustard seed. Have you ever seen a mustard seed? Sometimes in Bible stores you can buy the little pendants. They've got mustard. The teeny tiny list. I think they're supposed to be one of the smallest seeds maybe. But if you have that faith, that small. Not this big faith, but this small mustard seed faith. You will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind of faith does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Yeah. Okay. Yes, you're correct. That's how he's talking about the demons and why he couldn't do them. But again, we need to have that kind of faith. If you have just the smallest amount of faith, but it's still got to be done with prayer and with fasting, okay? But again, we're talking about faith and what we need. How are we to ask in faith? Continuing on in verse 6, James tells us to ask without doubting, okay? So, we ask in faith, but without doubting. How easy is it to ask things from God without doubting? Why do we doubt? Because we can't see it. Not what I was looking for. What? He might say no. We don't feel that we're worthy, do we, for this? And so we ask doubtingly.
Probably without
Okay, and we might not have gotten it yet because it's not on God's time. And that's a hard one. We've talked about that. You know, I want it now. I don't need it tomorrow, next week. I need it now. And we don't get it now, well, then God didn't answer my prayer. So then we get that doubting, okay? And again, you know, we need to have that faith that God is going to answer our prayer in His time and if it's needed. You know, it might be something that you think you need, but God knows that you don't need. Okay? How easy is it to ask or to pray without doubting? To not have any doubting when you are asking the Almighty God for something. I think doubting is one of the biggest issues or problems that Christians face every day. I found this on the internet, so you know it has to be true. But I can't say it enough that anything you read out there on the internet, take with a grain of salt, because a lot of people say, oh, I'm a professional, you know. But that doesn't mean they are, and that doesn't mean what he's saying is true. So we need to take it with a grain of salt.
We have a sign, she collects metal signs. We have one on our wall in the kitchen that says, the trouble with quotes on the internet is you can never know if they're true or not. And it says, Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, I remember reading about that, Abraham saying that. But yeah, that's true. Something I read on the internet stated that lying has become second nature to most people. Lying has become second nature to most people. Do you agree or disagree? Agree? Why? Or why not? Yes, sir. They don't want to hurt your feelings. Okay. I want to be your friend. I don't want to hurt your feelings, so I'm going to lie to make you feel good. Way back in the back. Well, again, this came off the internet, you know, so we may or may not trust it, but it brings up a good point, don't you think? You know, that a lot of people are lying, you know, to not hurt people's feelings, to make them look better. What's that? To avoid conflict. I think that might be a big one. I don't want to get into an argument, so I'm going to agree with you, just even though I disagree with you. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, simple. Yes, sir. Right. No, they're not. Yeah. You know, why were you late for work? Well, the truth is, I turned my alarm off, and you know, I didn't get up in time. But when they're asked, why were you late? Oh, I had a flat tire, or there was a wreck. You know, anything besides the truth, because they don't want to, you know, get caught in the truth. You know, it's like, well, I was just too lazy to get up. So people are lying. And again, I think it's true because it's easy. You know, people don't care about the truth anymore. You know, if you lie, you lie. You know, it used to be with a handshake, it was a done deal. But now, you know, no, we need it in writing. You need this affidavit. You need it to be stamped as, you know, that you've stated this or whatever, because, you know, people are just lying constantly. No, it's not.
I try to practice that, and it's not popular at all.
No.
When they ask you something, you tell them the truth, they're like, oh, you know, like, how dare you? And it's like, well, then don't ask. You know,
yeah, if you don't want to know the truth, don't ask.
Know the truth, then don't ask.
Yeah.
When I ask you if I want you back, I'm wanting you to lie.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of times, you know, I'm not going to tell you the truth because you can't handle the truth. You know? Yeah, it's too bad that people, you know, remember the story of Pinocchio? What happened when the little puppet told a lie? His nose got longer. You know, it's a shame that doesn't happen today. You know, how many people's noses, you know, they wouldn't be able to get through a door because of their noses being too long. You know, we laugh about it, but, you know, it's true. It's something we need to say. Right.
And that's very, I mean, if you can't trust your husband and you can't trust your best friends, the friendship isn't there, or your relationship isn't there.
No.
That's the truth.
Yeah. Have we seen you coming, you know? Our lookout didn't let us know ahead of time. So, going back to the scripture, you know, but let him ask in faith without doubting. You know, we need to ask with faith and without any doubt. Don't lie to yourself and think that God won't grant you the wisdom that you need. You know, going back to, yes, sir.
In 1 Samuel 16:7, it says, "For the Lord does not see man as he sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So if God is looking at our heart and we're asking for something in prayer and we have doubting, we have something mixed in our head, it's not going to come through.
Right. And that's what, and we do that to ourselves. That God's not going to give it to me, but I'm going to ask anyway. But we've got that doubting heart, but God sees our heart, you know. So it's kind of a vicious cycle, but we need to ask without doubting. We need to have the faith that God's going to give us what we're asking for, and in this case, the wisdom that we need. Yes, ma'am. Right. Right. Very good. Continuing on in verse 6, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts, so here James is telling us, for that person who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. He who doubts is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. I don't know about you, but I love it when I see a body of water like this that is so still that you get the reflection, in this case, you know, an island or a peninsula or whatever off in the distance with the trees, and you're seeing that exact duplicate, you know, in the water. And you don't see this a lot because a lot of times because of the winds are blowing, you don't see it. It's rippled and it's all distorted for the reflection. Okay? But I love it when it's like this. Calm and tranquil. But instead, our lives aren't really like this all the time, are they? This is more what our life is like. Okay? In torment, just constantly being, you know, ripped apart. To me, it is majestic to see the power of that same water that was so tranquil yesterday can look like this when it is pushed by the wind. Remember verse 6, But let him who asks God for wisdom in faith and with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed this way and that by the wind. What is the reference James is making here to asking God for wisdom and doubt with doubt on your mind? What's the point that James is trying to get across? That if you don't ask with the faith, that you're like this. Yes, ma'am. Okay. You're never going to have the tranquil, you know, peaceful life that God wants you to have. Okay? Because you're always doubting yourself. You're doubting your faith. You're being tossed to and fro, this way and that. Okay? Kat? Mm-hmm. That's it.
We'll have no direction. You know, because waves go both ways.
Oh, yes.
Both ways. You know, they come in, they also go back out.
They come in, they go out. I've mentioned to you before, my uncle built boats and we had gone out in the Gulf. I don't know how far, 5-10 miles to go fishing. And we got up the next morning to a storm. And it wasn't like this. It was like this. I'm pointing to the back screen. It wasn't like this, but it was 30, 40 foot swells to where we'd go down and you're looking up at the wave, you know, and then you'd come up and then you go down. Well, the waves are coming from all different directions. And so you'd go down facing north, but you might come up facing east and then you go down facing west, you know, so you're constantly moving up and down. But you're turning, and my uncle's sitting there just turning and turning and turning, trying to keep us on path so that we could hit the Pensacola opening, the bay, the mouth to the bay. And I was like, how in the world? Because all he was watching was these numbers on his directional finder. And down and up and down and up. And you'd look at this huge wave, and there would be a tree, which more or less a telephone pole by this time, you know, and we're in a wooden boat and here's a 50-foot long telephone pole, you know, that could hit us and take us out and we'd be out in the, you know, the Gulf sinking, you know. But that's how our life is, tossing us in different directions, tossing us up and down, to and fro, when we're left to ourselves, isn't it? When we're left to our own thinking, when we're left to, you know, not thinking that God's going to talk to us, not, God's not going to answer us. I don't deserve this, but I'm going to ask. So James is telling us that when we're asking for this wisdom, that we need to ask with faith and not being tossed to and fro. We need to expect God to answer us. Continuing on, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Verse 7. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. For that person must not suppose that a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways, will receive anything from the Lord. If you ask before God, you must not have two hearts, one for God and one for something else. Okay? Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. If we're double-minded, okay, we either need to be for God or we're not. We can't be double-minded. Well, God will give me this, but he's not going to give me that, or I can ask for God, or I can't ask from God. You see what I'm saying? We can't be this way and that. We can't be, you know, hot or cold. We need to be hot for God. Any comments on this statement, on verse 7? You sure? I figured we'd be spending more time on this. I didn't create too many more slides. Psalm 119, 113. I hate the double-minded. Okay. Again, what do you see as being double-minded for anybody, for a Christian?
Straddling the fence.
Two sets of rules. What are the two sets? Okay, that's one way of seeing the double-minded, or the, you know, that I want you to do this, but I'm going to do this. Okay, parents, do as I say, not as I do. Okay. Go ahead. Right.
But in this situation, I said that's what you should do, just get rid of it. And she's like, well, but I like cheer, and I don't always feel that way. So I can only imagine how frustrated God gets with us being double-minded, because as a parent trying to say, you know, when they come to me with their problems, and I say, here's your solution, and they're like, yeah, but this.
Right.
The double-minded thing you're talking about is not in the sense of like a hypocrite. It's somebody who is fickle, or, you know, like they already said, on the fence. One foot spiritually with God and one foot somewhere else in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they're tossed to and fro, because they don't have that direction. And that's the person that won't in chapter 4.
Right. Is this something that we see? I don't want to say necessarily a problem, but something that we see in the church? You know, I'm a Christian, you know, for 1 hour, 2 hours on Sunday, but the rest of the week, you know, I'm living the way I want to be. I want to, you know, with, around work, I'm a different personality or a different person at work than I am at church, you know, around my family, or when I, you know, go off and do things, I'm doing whatever. And I've given this example before. When we were in Iceland, one of the members there was head of the AWACS squadron, which is the spy planes and radar planes that go around. And there was, because it was a NATO base, we had a lot of other countries that would come in from the NATO countries. And one of the guys, the commander of one of the AWACS, the plane that came in, when they hit the island, they were all Muslim, and they went to the NCO club and got drunk. And the commander asked them about it the next day. You know, I didn't think that Muslims, you know, could drink. And he goes, Muhammad does not go TDY, temporary duty. Muhammad's at home. Muhammad's not on Iceland. You know, when I'm at home, I'm a good, true Muslim, but when I go off, I can do whatever I want, because Muhammad doesn't follow us. You know, that's true. That's what the guy said. You know, and a lot of people are that kind of double-mindedness that, you know, over here with my church family, I've got to be this way because I'm a Christian, but over here with my work family, or, you know, when I'm off with my friends, we're off hunting or, you know, four-wheeling or whatever, I can be somebody else, because God is not over here. John?
So if you,
Right, yeah. If you base your life totally 100% on the Bible, then you've got a foundation, okay? Jesus talked about that in the parable of where you build your house, you know, where you build your Christianity. Is it on the rock that stands firm, or is it on the sand that washes away and, your Christianity is just going to go away if that's what you built your Christianity on, is the sifting sands. Right. Right. And we'll talk about that a little bit in the next hour. But, you know, we can't let our we can't run our life on feelings, because we're wishy-washy, we're double-minded, we're just going to fall for anything, do anything. You know, oh, I like that idea, let's follow that. Oh, I like this idea now, you know, let's follow that. Whereas if our Christianity is based on the Bible, that solid rock that does not change, okay, then you're going to have a good Christian, stable, solid, constant Christian life. We're not double-minded. Oh, I can be this way here, you know, on Sunday, but Monday through Friday I'm this way. You know, that's what God hates. Either you're for Him 100%, or you're not. Okay? And that's what, you know, we read in Revelation, I don't remember if it was 2 or 3, about the church of Laodicea, I think it was. He spewed them out of their mouth because they were lukewarm. He said, I wish you were either hot or cold. But because you're lukewarm, because you're straddling that fence, you know, I'm spewing you out of my mouth. I can't stand that. Again, this double-mindedness. You know, one day we're good, we're for Christ, the next day we're not. One day we're standing firm, the next day we're wishy-washy. Okay? So we can't have that, and that's what this is talking about here in verse 7. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord if he is driven by, you know, like the seas, driven by the wind, this way and that. Yes? Okay. No. No, it's not worship.
Religion is how we live our lives.
Yes. No, okay. Yes, way back in the back.
The country song, about you guys stand for something or you'll fall for anything.
Right. And that's true, isn't it? And we see that in the church. I mean, we see that all the time, like he was talking about as far as genders and everything. You know, oh, yeah, you know what? There are 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever gender you want. But when you go to the facts, there's 2, male and female. You know, but when you don't have anything, when you don't stand for anything firm, then you'll fall for anything that comes up and pops up. Oh, look at this, you know. And we're seeing it a lot in today's society, that people are falling for just anything on the internet. You know, you say this, you say that, and they believe it. Right.
You know, I'd love to start selling, I said this years ago, I'd love to start selling extension cords with 2 male ends. Maybe they'd appeal to that community, you know. I could get rich, you know, or garden hoses with the same end on each end. They're worthless, but hey, maybe they'd like, you know, maybe there's a market there for it, you know, if people are so bent on saying that there's not just 2 genders, you know, or that male and male can cohabitate.
Right.
There's no question about whether we should speak up about this stuff. It should have been spoken about a long time ago before it got to this point.
Right. So. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of concerned Christians who did not agree with it said, well, if we do that, if we allow that, then what happens next?
Right.
Well, now we have the answer.
Now we have the answer of what could happen next, because it's happening.
And back, oh, sorry, go ahead.
And they're saying he's smart.
Oh, yeah.
He's been working on this since the beginning.
Yeah, and he doesn't take a day off. He's constantly coming up with ways that he can get at us. And again, if you have that hard rock foundation in the Bible and God's teachings, then you can't get pulled away. We've seen it. You know, our age group, different religions. Jim Jones. You know, he had, I think it was like 800, 900, almost 1,000 people who followed him, believed his teachings, moved down to South America, you know, drinking the Kool-Aid. What about the Haley Bopp Comet? Heaven's Gate, I think it was their name. You know, they believed that when the comet came through, if they killed themselves, committed suicide, that they would catch a ride on the tail of the Haley Bopp and be taken into heaven. And there was that group who believed it. And killed themselves, and you know, they didn't go after the comet. Okay. Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. I've seen it go both ways. When something tragic happens, like 9/11, there's a bunch of people that went to churches, you know, but it didn't stay long and they all left. But there's also those who, you know, something tragic happens in their life, you know, they lose a loved one or whatever, and the first thing they do is blame God. How could you let this happen? And they leave. But again, you know, if we've got those feet planted on the solid rock of Christ and his word, yeah, we might sway a little bit, we might have those times in our life, but yet we're going to stay where we need to, because all this is going to happen, and you know, and we can't let it destroy us. And I think if we have our feet solid in the word, in God, then we're never going to break. You know, and I think that's what that scripture is telling us, building your house on the rock. You know, it's going to stay solid. And that's what we need to do with our Christianity. Kat?
I think what John is saying, you can have something happen in your life, and you have to blame God, but you turn your back. But hopefully, if you have a good foundation, eventually you will come back.
Oh, yeah, I've seen people leave because their feelings got hurt because of, you know, something happened in their life and they blame God. And oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot of people have a facade. You know, they got that commercial out now, and I don't remember what drug it is, and she's carrying a, you know, a smiley face, you know, because behind she is just torn up, she's sad and whatever, but yet she's just putting a smiley face for everybody else to see, you know. And I think sometimes that's what Christians do, you know, instead of communicating with each other and letting this help you, you know, to get through this problem, they try to do it on themselves. So, and I always say, you know, they come into church and they put their Christianity on, you know, they dust it off and put the Christianity on and they wear it, you know, for the hour or two that they're here, but then when the church is over, they take the Christianity off and put it back on the coat rack and go out and live their own life. You know, we can't be that. You know, that's not having your feet solid into God.
Trials,
And that's what we started off this lesson with, was facing those trials and temptations, you know. And again, how do we do that? We do that with our feet sturdy. And without that, we're not going to. Okay, you are going to say something. You put your hand up and then you start scratching your head. I didn't know if you were going to say something or not. Yes.
And I was being faithful. But now I can look back and say, I was still holding my Christianity in somewhat of a box. I was not completely allowing it to permeate all the areas of my life. Even I wasn't doing anything very obvious. I wasn't going out and swearing a whole bunch the rest of the week or
right. 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 Yeah, and what do they say about hindsight? It's 20/20. You know, we can look back, every single one of us can look back at our life and see where we've had good times and we've had bad times and how we followed Christ and maybe we didn't, you know, because of something going on, maybe because of friends' influence, you know. That's a big thing, especially when you're a teenager, you know, is your friends' influence. I did a good Christian life until I was with my friends, and then we would go out and do things.
I like what she said, though, because I was sitting here thinking the very same thing. We all struggle with this, even, I mean, I struggle with it still. So I don't know if I'll ever get over that, but I work in a horrible environment. Mm-hmm. You know?
Right.
And yeah, to put it lightly. So I've dealt with this, and I still deal with it. And I think the same thing, that maybe I'm not doing all that bad stuff, but am I doing enough? You know, sometimes I'll get a little encouragement when somebody will say, you know, where, oh man, did you just say a bad word or something? You know, and three or four other guys will go, no, I've worked with them for.
Right.
Or something, and I'll say, no, you misheard me or something, you know. They'll go, no, I heard it, and I'll have three or four other guys arguing. I don't even have to say anything. So that kind of makes you feel good. You know?
Yes.
I also, a member of the church that worked at a dam, he works for the government, though, and he, we would see each other at the dam and stuff, and then he came up to me one day privately at work and said, hey, you don't have to hold back or anything, you know, while you're here at work. You know, I understand, you know, like I understand. You can go ahead and cuss like everybody else and do that and everything. And I didn't even know how to respond. I got,
yeah.
You know, I was like, well, what are you talking about, you know? And he kind of explained, and I was like, well, I don't.
Right.
You know, this is how I am.
I'm a Christian.
But on the other hand,
right.
I do things that I'm not the exact person that I am sitting right here, you know, and I think it's because I don't do enough. I don't let it shine enough, you know.
Right.
Even though you try and you say things, you bring stuff up, you know, you get into two or three arguments or conversations in the break room, and you know it's not going anywhere, you know, and so you, but they understand where I come from.
Yeah.
But I struggle with the same thing, you know, am I doing enough?
Right. Yeah, and we need to ask that question, I think, as a Christian. Okay, I'm living a good Christian life, but am I doing enough? remember Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount? What are we supposed to do? We are supposed to let our light shine. Are we letting our light shine? Or is it just sitting here, you know, under our little bushel? No, he says you can't keep it under a bushel. We need to let it shine. Don't let Satan puff it out, as the kid's song goes, you know. And if we're not letting it shine, then there's that tendency to where it can be snuffed out. Real quickly, we did end up, I didn't have to run out of slides. But my last slide for this morning, James 4:8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You could not be conceited enough to think that God will grant us everything we ask for because of who I am. I deserve everything I ask for. God, grant me this. And we know that sometimes God's answer is no. Sometimes it's not on God's time frame when he needs to answer you. Okay? But we can't be double-minded. If we draw near to God, God will draw near to us. Any other questions or comments? Thank you very much for your comments. I always appreciate those, and it adds to the class. Thank you.